As you turn with me to God's word for us this morning in Luke chapter 1, let us go one more time before God's throne of grace. Let us all pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we're thankful for your word. What a treasure it is to us, not only to speak it, but to hear it, to hear your words to us. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would speak to all of us today. These dear saints have not come to hear me, nor have I. We've come to worship the true and living God and to hear from you. You've promised where two or more are gathered in your name that you're here in the midst. Would that be so very real to us today? Speak to us from your word. Comfort us. Change us. Conform us more to the image of our dear beloved Savior. We ask in his name. Amen. And this passage is about a man who for a temporary season lost his ability to speak. His name is Zechariah. Luke 1 from the 5th verse. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And now we shift to verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by that name." And they made signs to his father that he would have what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he add his blessing to it. Why was it so important that the boy be named John? What was the significance of that? And why it was so important, in fact, that an angel of God would come and demand that the boy be named John. Why was it so critical that Zacharias would be struck where he couldn't speak for those 9 months? God was drawing great attention to this, and we have to ask, what is the great importance of a name anyway? We don't typically name our children like the American Indians did, like Dancing with Wolves or Sitting Bull or something that speaks to our culture. But the ancient Israelites somewhat did. Their words had meaning. Elijah, God is Jehovah. Or we think of another family who had a child in their old age, Abraham and Sarah. And she, much like Zacharias, was somewhat doubting of the, or dubious of the fact that in her old age she could bear a child. So she laughed, and they named the child Laughter. Isaac means laughter. So we don't do so much of that, but we do tend to want to have our children carry on the family name like Zacharias. We have a lot of juniors among us, and we name children after ancestors or a particular family name. And so we have to ask, what was wrong with Zacharias? This was a good name. This was a good family. They came through the lineage of Aaron. Both Elizabeth and Zacharias were of the lineage of Aaron. We have a great heritage. These are called a godly couple. They're called good and righteous, both of them. Zacharias also has the priesthood. He is a priest of the Aaronic priesthood, is of this course Abiah. Abiah was a grandson of Aaron, and there were 24. There were 24 courses, as it's listed in the King James, these different courses of priests. And that meant that they could twice a year fulfill the office of priest in the temple. But this particular day, Zacharias has the privilege of offering incense. This is a great deal in the life of the priest. This is not a high priest. He's not going into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could do that. And there were great restrictions and great ceremony about that. The high priest would have to have bells on his robes because they had to know he was still alive while he was in there moving around. He had a rope tied to his leg, so if the bells quit ringing, he would have perhaps died in the Holy of Holies. They couldn't go in. They'd have to drag him out. But this is in the holy place where the priest would go, just outside the Holy of Holies. It was such a place of reverence. They reverenced the presence of God so much that this priest in his course, if he drew the lot to be able to offer incense, it was a high honor, and he could only do it once in his life. He could never do it again. This was a great honor. And it's on this day, this very peculiar day, that God draws great attention to Zacharias and his family. An angel actually appears to him. Found it fascinating in my study that the last time previous to this that we have a record of an angel visiting someone was to the prophet Zacharias in the Old Testament. He appeared in a vision. And it's been a long time since that day. And an angel now appears to Zacharias, and it doesn't say that Zacharias is thrilled to see him. He doesn't say, oh, wow, this is terrific. Instead, it says he is troubled, and fear comes upon him. I think part of it is caught up in the name Gabriel. His name means God is my strength, or the strength of God. This is a awesome figure that has appeared to him. This is not some vision. He is suddenly there. We don't know how, if he suddenly emerged gradually or he just immediately popped into view, but he has stepped out of one dimension, as it were, into another. And it's a scary process. And he gives them this great news. Your prayers have been answered. He's in there. Zacharias is probably after an evening sacrifice. He's taken coals from the altar and taken them to the altar of incense. And the whole temple is filled with smoke. This represents the prayers of all the people. The people are outside praying. Well, this lot that has been given to him to be the priest for that day, he would not spend much time usually in the temple. He would just get that smoke going, and then he'd go back out, and he would close them all in prayer. But this time he stays in there a while, and they're troubled. He has a conversation with an angel. The angel said, I've heard your prayers. I don't believe it's the prayers that were offered that day. From Zechariah's response, it sounds like he may have given up on the prayer for a child. The angel may be saying, I'm hearing the prayers of all the people, and those prayers may be much like the prayers of those offered in Revelation. How long, O Lord, until the Redeemer comes and delivers us from our enemies? Maybe that's the prayer, but he is speaking a personal word to Zacharias. I've heard the prayer of your life for a son, for a child. And Zacharias says, that's not going to happen. I don't believe that. I mean, how could that happen? I'm an old guy, and my wife's an old woman. It's not going to happen. This response is different from Mary's. Mary's is in the verses that we skipped. In verse 34, Mary says unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Her response is not saying, I don't believe this can happen. She's just saying, I don't understand how. How will you do this? I don't understand. And the angel tells her, the Holy Spirit will cover you, and this is a miraculous thing. She immediately accepts that. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. But Zacharias is a little different. He's giving argument as to why this can't be. I'm an old man. She's an old woman. I don't get it. And so he is struck dumb. And again, we ask the question, What is so important about this? That the Lord would shine such a spotlight that everyone around would see that he can't speak. And more importantly, why is it so important that this child be named John? Zacharias means God remembers. Sounds like a great name for a prophet. God has remembered us. He's answered our prayer. God remembers. Sounds like a great name. Or why not Elijah? He's supposed to be in the work and ministry in the spirit of Elijah, right? We learn that later. But you see, this child is not going to be Elijah. They asked John, are you Elijah? He says, no, and he's not. Elijah is not going to be born of a woman again. Elijah hasn't died. Elijah was taken into heaven in a whirlwind of fire. That same Elijah, the original one and only Elijah, will appear with Jesus and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that same Elijah will come, I believe, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord's second coming. But many times in Scripture, a prophecy is fulfilled in part and then in a fuller way later. And I believe that is the case with John. Even Jesus said, if you can accept it, he is fulfillment of that prophecy. Though he's not Elijah, he is in the spirit and power of Elijah, doing the same thing as Elijah. Well, why then John? There are times in history when a major event has to occur that God intervenes, and he does so in miraculous ways. The miracles of the Scripture usually come in lumps, clumps. They came around Moses when he delivered the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. There were miracles that surrounded that. There was a little period of miracles around the work of Elijah and Elisha, but now something else is coming. This is heralding the advent of Christ. The most important events in history are now coming, and miracles begin to surround this event. And this is one of, or perhaps the first. And that's what's happening here. The child is born, and they ask why he should not be called Zacharias. That seems to be the thing that should happen. He's a good man. He's waited for a child all of his life. Surely the Lord would let him have a namesake, and it's a good name, but no. After 9 months of silence, Zacharias somehow has bought into this plan. He should be called John. Elizabeth says it first. And then they turn and ask Zacharias. But if you notice, they make signs to ask him. They didn't speak to him. That's because he's not just dumb, he's deaf too. He can't hear, nor can he speak. They have to make signs because he can't hear them. The last thing ringing in his ears for 9 months is the voice of an angel. He'll be called John. And that's all he could hear. There was nothing but absolute silence from his own mouth or anyone else's for 9 months. Why? Why is this so important? The message that had been preached from the temple had been perverted. It is now needing to be changed. There's a great change. I'm not a dispensationalist. It was not that God was preaching one message and now is going to make this major shift. It is that the message that the law was somehow the mechanism for salvation, that had entered into the preaching. The true believer in the Old Testament would understand that the law is powered by grace. We can't keep the law. We can't do it. We need God's grace to help us live a holy life. God's grace comes in, and then we do good works. To put it in our language, you don't do good works to become a Christian. You do good works because you're a Christian, because the Spirit of God has come into you. Do you know that when Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit came to us, that was a commemoration of the giving of the law? That's what Pentecost was. We couldn't keep the law just with the law in front of us. It was a standard we couldn't keep. It was shined a spotlight on our sin. That's what law did. It made us run to Christ for grace. We're saved by grace. And that's what John's name means. God is gracious. This would be the message of John and of Christ, that God is gracious to us. Look at the grace in the miraculous birth of this child and the other one, his cousin, that would be born. Such grace. The old message was, do this and don't do that and earn God's favor. The new message is, it's done. It is finished, is what Christ said. I have met all the requirements of the law. The law is good, but it is not, you're not able to do the law and earn God's favor. It's done by Christ. He lives out the perfect life that none of us could live, and more than that, took the wrath of God for the sins that we committed, for our breaking of the law. It's all in Christ, and it's the grace of God. There will be a time when everything will shift again in eternity, or before eternity, when Christ is coming again in wrath, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But here the grace of God begins with the answer to yet more prayers. Zacharias speaks, and he praises God, and he first speaks of Christ. Look at him speak. In verse 68, he talks about his redemption. He says that more than once. Redemption and salvation is the message that is coming. It is the grace of God outpoured. Another John, the gospel writer, John, says it this way in the first chapter of John. He speaks of Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and so forth. And then verse 14, he begins, and he shifts to talk about John the Baptist. But verse 14 is a transitional verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. You see, Moses had asked to see God's glory. And the Lord said, no one can see my glory and live. All Moses could see was just the backside, just the passing little bit of the glory, and that's all that we can see through the keeping of the law, is just a bit of the glory of God. But much more so with Christ, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him. He's now speaking of John the Baptist, and cried, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is the message. It's not the law anymore. It's not doing these rituals and all the ceremonial things that the Jews had to do. The law had become a burden. It was never meant to be that. It was meant to be a picture of how we live in Christ. God's people would live that way. My people shall not do this or that. That's just not what we should do. We should live according to the law only because we have the Spirit of holiness in us. We'll fail, but Christ won't. We'll fail, but Christ has paid the penalty. It's all fulfilled in him, you see. And him in us, it's manifest. This shift, this great shift in the whole order of the universe has come, and the Lord shines a spotlight on it with the silencing of that old message. You're not going to say that anymore. You're not going to say it's the law and do this and do that anymore. You're not going to say anything, my priest, until you say what is the truth and grace. For that's the gospel. Just as things happen in the Old Testament are a prophecy, and things happen in part and then happen again, the temple is a picture of heaven. In Revelation 8, that time has come when grace is satisfied with all of the elect. And just like the door was shut in the ark and no one else could get in, there will be a time when the door of grace is shut and it's met with silence. Revelation 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. This is a picture, again, of incense in the temple. That he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The prayers of the saints at the end of time is, how long, Lord? When will we be saved of our enemies? It's probably a very similar prayer that was offered in the temple before the temple when Zacharias was there, as he offered incense. And as he was silenced, so will there be silence in heaven, because the shift will change from grace to judgment then. This is a quantum change in the life of the church, and it's important for God to shine a spotlight on it. And very often he does that with silence. If you think about it, even when he called Moses to bring us the law and to deliver them out of Egypt, Moses said, how can I do that? I can't speak. Some say he might have stuttered, or but there was an interruption to his speech. And now grace is the message, and we are still living in this time of grace. The door is still open for all who will believe. So this is our application. Now is the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. We should be preaching the gospel of grace, that you're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We should be preaching that to the world, and that's our commission, is it not? That's what the Lord has told us to do. The doors and his arms are open wide to receive all who will believe. Until that time in Revelation when it's shut. And the message is more than that. Grace, particular grace, is given to his people who he loves. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that grace entered this world. He loves us. No health and wealth religion. Sometimes our trials are tough, but God still hears the prayers of his people. He still heals and saves and does wonderful things. Miracles still surround this age, this time. Oh, not exactly like it was when Jesus was born in his life and ministry and resurrection and ascension. It'll come more in a great cluster again when he's coming again, but he still loves us now, and he hears our prayers and answers them. Oswald Chambers says that sometimes we pray and it's like the heavens are brass. The Lord don't think hears us. It seems that we pray and we don't hear anything. And Oswald Chambers says, the Lord is answering you in the sweetest way by the intimacy of his silence, the importance of it, that everything is quiet. He spoke to Elijah with a still, small voice. Tells us to be still and know that he is God. I'll end with a little story Swindoll told. He said when he was returning from overseas in the military, and that the bus that was carrying him home to his little house in Texas was way out in the country. And the bus stopped at a little crossroads, and he had several miles to walk home at midnight. And as he was walking down the road, he got about a quarter of a mile to his home, and his dog heard him. That dog he hadn't seen in a long time, but his dog heard someone walking on that road, and so being a good guard dog, he started to bark. Swindoll heard him and called to him, and then there was nothing but silence, for he knew that dog was running to him. And the father runs to get every prodigal. He runs to meet our prayers. All things are ordained by him, but somehow in it, the answer to our prayers fulfills his will and ways. Let us all pray. Our Lord, we thank you for your excellent word. We thank you, O Lord, for giving us this word today. And we pray, O Lord, we'd live in the light of it with hope abounding that you will do miraculous things to bring your will to power, to place, to take place. We are thankful, O Lord, that you have heard and answered prayers to such an extent as you have already, but we continue, even in this time of worship, to pray for Alan. Oh, Lord, heal this brother and bring him back to this pulpit, to this church that has shown such precious love to him and who he loves with his whole heart. Please, oh, Lord, bless us to trust you and to tell others about you while we have this window of opportunity. And then come again, O Lord, to rescue your people, to save us from our enemies, and to bring us home to be with you. We ask in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.